Welcome to the Movie Bench Quarterbacking Podcast. This podcast features geeks brought together by fate to discuss movies and all things geek culture. Enjoy the show.
Did you watch that Boys yet?
I just got to watch yesterday's. Was it the last one?
Yeah. They only do eight.
It's like it just started. Wow.
Yeah, they only do eight and they went straight through, no breaks. And I didn't start watching until like episode 3 or 4. So I know it felt extra short to me. Yeah, bro.
Okay, I'm going to watch it tonight. Do you watch Umbrella Academy? Do you watch that?
No, I saw the first episode and I just kind of, I don't know, I kind of didn't get into it like that. So I've been meaning to.
What show?
Umbrella Academy.
Umbrella Academy.
Yeah, man, I'm good on that, bro.
All right, so we're back again with another one. I'm Jay, and tonight we have
Wayne the Cube,
Captain Key.
What's up, brothers?
How you doing, man?
So tonight we're going to talk about the new Thor movie, Thor: Love and Thunder. Let's get right into it. I'll give a synopsis of the movie. The synopsis is: Thor enlists the help of Valkyrie, Korg, and his ex-girlfriend Jane Foster to fight Gore, the God Butcher, who intends to make the gods extinct. And this is directed by Taika Waititi. It was written by Taika Waititi, Jennifer Robinson, and it stars Chris Hemsworth, Natalie Portman, Christian Bale, and a slew of other known actors and actresses. This movie, where to begin? Okay.
I love it.
Are we doing this?
People of planet Earth, put your seatbelts on.
Are we doing the spoiler-free part first or what?
Okay, yeah, let's start with the spoiler-free first, and then we'll go into spoilers. So, Wayne the Cues, let's start with you.
All right, sweet. So, I think the movie was interesting. You can tell that it came off the heels of Thor Ragnarok in a sense of the director and folks liking that direction of the film. And so, the director just kind of threw more of that into this film. And I think definitely it had a villain that was really well done by Christian Bale. I think they took the ante up in this one. I mean, a couple scenes where, you know, I forgot this was a Marvel PG-13 movie, but it was different. And it had a lot of different scenes in which you wouldn't necessarily imagine in a Marvel movie. Different sequences and different takes on things. Some of them really, really fascinating and really great and really fun and exciting. And then some of them, well, yeah, but it was definitely, like I said, riding off the coattails off the last one in terms of the energy and the funny and the humorous and the mixing of the action, but the, you know, the awkward jokes and stuff, which a lot of people apparently liked in the last one. So this one, apparently the only thing that was different was instead of having the Hulk, this one had Jane Foster, of course, and you see that from the trailer, no spoiler there, but it was definitely different than the typical Marvel movie. It still was in the Marvel model of superhero films, but it was a little bit more edgier, and you know, depending on how you like that or not, you'll extra like the film or you extra won't, or you'll just be like, it was okay. So yeah, that was my opinion. I think it was cool. I think it was a Marvel movie. So you know, it was one of those movies you go see based on the strength that it was a Marvel movie and based on the strength that Chris Hemsworth was Thor. Yeah.
All right. So Captain Keith, what says you?
It was an entertaining film, but there's definitely problems with it. First and foremost, some of the writing was like really bad. And then some of it was really good. Like Thor has always been like the funny guy in the Marvel universe. So when Chris Hemsworth is being Thor and he's being funny, he's good. He's natural with it. But some of the other people, like when he came across Sif and their dialogue was just bad to me. I didn't care for it at all. So some of the film felt a little shaky with dialogue that was executed. But the rest of it, I did enjoy. It was good to see Thor again. There was a nice recap of what had happened to Thor up until then. I did enjoy seeing that, watching all that. And I, like I said, the film was entertaining. And it eventually, the story got better as it kept on going. but there are definitely parts of it that I didn't care for at all, that was just a bit too much, that didn't even need to be in the story. But overall, by the time I got to the end of the film, I did like where it went for the most part. So it was entertaining. But once again, like Doctor Strange, it wasn't great, but it was fun for the most part.
Once again, this was a mixed bag for me. I liked it. It was entertaining. Yeah. It was entertaining. It's interesting because with Thor, he had two movies that couldn't quite define him in a way that people took to him. And that didn't happen until the third movie. And that was mainly due to the interpretation that Taika Waititi had for the character. And even though it was unorthodox, it was different and fresh enough to make people give a second look to that version of Thor. And then Chris Hemsworth, with his personality and his comedic side and stuff, they leaned into that. And so with that, they found a new way to interpret Thor and his world, which turned out to be a good thing, where people really enjoyed Thor Ragnarok and a new take on the character, which was fun. So if you enjoyed that take, then this new movie, I think you will enjoy it as well. But you would have to know that those things that happen in that tone that happened in the last movie was heavily leaned in on this new movie, which I thought was a bit much at times. I'll liken it to like the show Family Guy, where they'll do all these little jokes, but they're little quick one-off jokes and they go to the next thing. It never sits on a joke. It'll be a something shocking, something funny, next joke. Something shocking, something funny, next joke. And this movie rides like that. So normally if something comes up and in a movie, it kind of leans into it for a little bit longer. You get some nuance, you get another side of it. But they're so quick to go to the next joke or the next situation that it doesn't give the situation a chance to breathe. And so sometimes you could be watching it and feel kind of shortchanged. And it'll take a minute to get kind of used to the pacing that the movie is. But the world building is really nice. The special effects is nice. Some of the issues I had on the last movie, they kind of fixed on this one as far as like stretching out the fight scenes and stuff like that. I think they were nicely done. The characters were pretty much developed pretty well. For the most part, the characters that we're dealing with in this movie, we know of already. And then a new character is coming up. You get a fair amount of backstory and stuff. So even though I enjoyed it and I thought it was cool, I had a lot of issues with it story-wise. And then also, I have a concern about the tone, which I think switched a lot. And it's hard for me to recommend it to anybody because even though I would say it's a family movie and it's kind of presented as a family movie, there are quite a few things in there that is not a family movie aesthetic. And so I'd be wrong to say, hey, take your kids to go see it, because depending on how you raise your kids, there's a few things in there that it's not kid appropriate, more than one thing. And therefore, even I having a kid, I have to think twice about if I want them to see the movie or not. And so that kind of goes into what Wayne and Keith too, as far as like Disney and their movies and who are they making these movies for. So
yeah,
if you like the first one, if you like Ragnarok, it's more of the same. And you'll have fun with it. If you kind of wanted something more straightforward, this is not that movie. But is it well directed? Yes. But is the story strong? No. Is some of the choices that he made sense? No, not really. And so it's hard for me to even say I could recommend it. If you like these movies, watch it. You'll have fun. It's some funny stuff. It's entertaining. It's spectacle. But you have to be accepting and ready for it, because it's not like, yeah, just how Doctor Strange was, where they wanted to be kind of a family movie, but they got some horror stuff in there and some dealings with certain kind of things that might not be age appropriate. So it's one of those kind of things. I understand that Marvel's going through a weird time right now and they're trusting directors to kind of, you know, put their mark on the properties and stuff. But when you do that, you could also fall victim to alienating people or a general audience. So I'll be interested to see how this does. But I think people just going for the name of Thor and because of the last movie. So I'll be interested to see what the results will be as far as people, you know, what they think about the movie and how they take it. So that was our spoiler-free segment. And now let's get to our spoiler segment.
Where do we start, man? Where do we start, bro? I just...
Want me to shut it off? I'll shut it off.
Yeah,
please do, Wayne. Yeah, please do. Wayne the Q. Up to bat.
Shut it off.
I have to disassociate myself from the cues because I wouldn't want any backlash on them. No. It's Wayne the Q all day. So, this movie was really forced, man. It was so forced. And they had so much social commentary in this movie and so many social, like, ideologies and just narratives that are going on just socially. And it was just so much. It was so forced. I mean, to the point where it was noticeable and it took you away from the movie. And so, you know, I mean, I think there are a lot of themes that are happening now that just play out, right? Of course, you know. But I think, you know, when you talk about, like, you know, you're going to see a comic book movie, I think it's okay to just let it be a comic book movie sometimes. And I think, like, some of the narratives that were in the movie, and I'm not going to say pushing agendas. I mean, you could say that if you want. I mean, you know, tomato, tomato, whatever, semantics. But it was a lot of narrative that was pushed, and it was forced. And I think the problem with it is you can have narratives. So, for example, women empowerment and strong women, right? Which we need more of. Now, in this film, that notion was so flexed. It was so forced and pushed, but it was done in such a overbearing way that it just didn't feel natural. It felt like women empowerment equated to over masculinity, which is, you know, Thor's character, he's super masculine, right? He's super, we're gonna drink, and, you know, all this kind of, like, this overly man's man type of person, you know, respectfully, that he has, you know, I mean he has this respect, and respectfully he's this person, but it's like, for her to be a remnant of that, it just was so overly done and so forced. Because, you know, you see Jane in this movie and Lady Thor, and you think, wow, this is way over the top. Like, and they're, like, really pushing this powerful woman. And then you think, okay, but they didn't have to do that before. And why are they pushing this narrative so hard? Because we just came off the heels of Doctor Strange 2, and you had literally the most powerful character, one of the top five most powerful characters that we've seen in the Marvel Cinematic Universe to this date, Scarlet Witch, and she didn't have that persona. And Doctor Strange feared her. And it just wasn't overly done. It wasn't forced. She just, you know, this is just a woman, and she was a mom. She's going to destroy the whole multiverse. But she wasn't overly masculine, and that didn't, there was this, no, you don't understand. This woman is more powerful than anything else. Like, it's gonna take a whole bunch of people. And again, she's super powerful, but we don't get that narrative forced down where it's like, it's just overbearing. And I think too, you know, between that piece, between just her mannerisms and how she is, and I think also it was another scene, you know, toward the end where it's just so much. And then I think, you know, then the sexuality pieces, you know, of course, that was definitely extra stress in the film, you know, with Tessa Thompson's character, and then also Korg's parents, yeah. You know, and then you got the gods and Zeus talking about orgies, you know, and he must have said orgies like five times, and I guess it's like,
right.
In his accent, maybe it was like, well, maybe you didn't understand me the first time, let me say it again, orgy. And then, oh, just in case you didn't get it that second time, I got another one for you, orgies. And it's like, damn, how you supposed to, like, you gotta not explain to your kids what an orgy is. Like, dad, what's an orgy? You know, and you're so, right. Or mom, what's an orgy? You know, or
big inappropriate.
Yeah. You know, and or kids running around talking about orgies, Zeus, what's happening, orgies? And so, you know, I just think there were a lot of narratives that were definitely pushed around in the movie that just took away from it just being a comic book movie. And then took away from it being such a well-crafted comic book movie where you these narratives had been in a movie before, but it wasn't overly done. So it was just embedded, and you knew what it was. And it was like, oh, okay, cool, this is good. But I promise you, like, make no mistake, like, you know, with this whole Jane Thor character and this woman empowerment thing, there has been so many women in the Marvel Cinematic Universe that did not need that extra flex, that extra masculine like persona, but are still feared by everyone else. I mean, you got Black Panther, you got Nai. I mean, she is literally the head of Black Panther's security group. He has a troop of women that are responsible for his protection. Not men, women.
Dora Milaje.
And they're very feminine, but very like take no nonsense. I mean, and each time we've seen them, everyone has like eventually like got out the way or got down. Either you're gonna get down or you're gonna lay down when it comes to them. Fierce, but not overly masculine to where it's noticeable. It's like, no, I don't wanna mess with them. I mean, and there's several characters throughout these movies that have actually said that. No, you don't want to mess with them. They're badass. You don't want to do that. I'm surprised you still got your problem. They're badass. No, they do this. They're badass. And they're not overly masculine. You know, same deal with Scarlet Witch. You know, most powerful person. I mean, she destroyed, you know, we're going back to the cinematic universe. She destroyed Infinity Stone. She literally was about to wreck the multiverse. She was actually gonna hold Thanos off on her own in the Endgame movie. You know, I can keep going down the list. Or Age of Ultron, she put that whole thing into play, you know, and didn't give you the "I am woman, hear me roar." And it's not that that's a problem. It's just it takes away from just the believability of it, because it's like the overcompensation for it when Jane needed that, when she really didn't need that. And she could have just been this powerful Thor, and this, they just didn't have to give her that, or they didn't have to add these other notions into the movie, which is still could have just been super dope. And I think a lot of that took away from just enjoying the film. Now, there were some great aspects of the film. And the thing with the Axel, with the name, and how, like, you know, being called something or being referred to as something, you know, this little boy, he's 12 or 13, Heimdall's son, and he's like, you know, he's like, Axendale, you know, because his dad's name is Heimdall. And my name is Axel. And it's like, yeah, no, I know, but your dad named you Axendale. I've known you since you were 12. I knew your dad before he had you. Yeah, no, my name is Axendale. You're going to call. And it's like building in these narratives where it's like, if you're attuned to it, you're going to notice it, and it's going to take you away from the movie. Because you're gonna start thinking about the social commentary of it. So it's like they failed, or they were successful in of course appeasing some folks, of course. And I get it, you can't make everybody happy. And not that I need to be happy. It's a comic book movie and I don't make any money from it. So it is what it is. But just being able to watch a film and have things so carefully crafted and certain, if you're gonna push agendas, and push that agenda so embedded, so nice, so embraced that I wouldn't even notice that it was so under the radar that, when you lead a movie, like you're actually thinking about it and subconsciously you thinking about it, you don't even know why, because it was so far just interwoven into the fabric of the movie and the story that you didn't even pick up that this is what it was, but they didn't do that for this. You know, I'm about to throw the black and white woman feminism together, like they partners, you know, in crime, but we're going to team up because we both are not messing with Thor right now. You know, it was just so many different like concepts that were just thrown around in the movie that took it away from just being a fun action comic book movie. That coupled with the humor that was so much done over the top. I hated all that humor. I just think it was just way too much. And again, I'm thinking, and this is just my opinion, I'm thinking because the Thor Dark World, Thor 2, was darker than people liked, than the Marvel model, then they gave that Thor Ragnarok that extra spin on it, which was cool. But make no mistake, Thor Ragnarok was only good because the Hulk was in it. Now, because it was you had to overcompensate on the 180 spin because of Thor Dark World, you get the Thor Ragnarok. Now, but they don't necessarily bring it down to temper it. Like, it's just, we're gonna take it up a notch even more. And it's like, well, you don't have to take it up a notch because that was well received. Do the same thing. Don't necessarily take it up a notch, but you can't necessarily do the same thing because you don't have the Hulk in it. So now you gotta throw some extra stuff to like build around this Hulk character, not in it, but still escalate it, but escalate the story, right? And take it to the next level. So I think the movie was cool, but I think it was some of the dialogue was forced. Some of the narrative was forced. Some of the storylines were kind of just like forced. Some things were really fun. You know, some things were super fun, but then something else would take from it because you're like, damn, I can't just sit here and enjoy this movie because, you know, I'm thinking about it because this is what we're going through in real life. And I'm like, this is a comic book movie. The sole reason for me coming to see this movie is because it's not real. It's not what's happening right now. We're literally looking at a mythical imaginary character with a hammer flying another hammer and then somebody else with another hammer, and then Zeus is on the screen somehow. We got people making rents to Ra, but then, you know, Zeus is the god of gods. But wait a minute, Ra came first, so actually Ra should be the god of gods. But you know what? I'm not even gonna think about that because, hey, I'm supposed to be just be watching this comic book movie. But yeah, I can't because there's so many social, this narrative just pushed and forced, and it was just so stuck with it. I think, you know, it got good towards the end. You know, after the whole Zeus thing, I think it got more focused on just Thor being serious and then Thor kind of pushing through all that other stuff. And then like the other stuff kind of backing down a little bit. And then we can just enjoy Thor fighting the bad guy, which is why I came to see this movie, because why would I pay to see real life? I can go outside for that. Like, why would I do that? Like, no, I'm paying for this to take me away from real life, right? And so I just think it was just so much, just so stuffed with that. But it was still a fun ride, I guess. You know, you should always see everything for yourself to judge. But, you know, just know it was a lot. It felt like more than a typical Marvel movie because it was just so much pushed into it. So I would be surprised if they allow this director to do the next one. I'd be surprised.
Wow. How do you think the movie gonna be received by the public?
I think people are gonna go see it because it's Thor, but I think depending on what is, I don't know, you know, depending on who is pushing the mainstream, this is a great movie, this is not a great movie, then more folks will see it. I do think that people will leave this film kind of like, I don't know, that was a lot. Like, was Thor really naked in the movie? Oh man, I gotta explain to my kids like what an orgy is? Oh man, like, well, I wasn't ready to have that conversation with my kids about two dads. Oh man, like I have to, you know, and it's just like all these different things. Damn, I really thought I was just going to see a superhero movie today and not necessarily The Boys. I think it'll be mixed reviews with it. I know they were talking about, they were hoping that it gets at least 300 million, but you know, I think it was so much into it. I mean, the single dad aspect of it at the end, single parents, you know, I'm just like, oh my God. Like, it was just so, and the goat. It was a lot. So, but anyway, sorry.
And the goats.
I'll pass the mic. I'll concede my time because, you know, I know it's a lot that everybody has to say, but I just think it was definitely a stuffed, no pun intended.
Yeah. Captain Keith, what says you?
I mean, I agree with what Wayne's saying. It was entertaining. Chris Hemsworth, he was born to be Thor. He's great, but it just, some of it felt very forced and unnecessary. And it's just interesting. You show this great love he has for Jane Foster, but then you kind of like take it away. But then you replace it with other things that are not child appropriate. And I didn't care for that at all, really. And I wish I would've got a little bit more of the Guardians of the Galaxy with him. Because we never got a chance. I mean, I guess we got that one adventure on that planet, but that's all we really got. So, yeah, I mean, it was good to see them. It's just, yeah, it's the movie, things about it I liked. And then, like I said, the ending, there should have been more to that ending than what we got. I liked seeing Thor. I liked the humorous aspect of it. How, like, when he decided to go fight and help the Guardians, I liked how all that went down. And then the Sacred Temple basically crashed. That was funny. I mean, you know, that's something that would happen to him. I did enjoy that. I enjoyed definitely the fight scenes. I enjoyed, you know, his hammer being jealous of Milner. I enjoyed all that and talking to it. I enjoyed seeing New Asgard as a tourist attraction. I enjoyed all that. That was interesting. And the Valkyrie doing the Old Spice commercial, that was funny. All that stuff was interesting. Mm-hmm. Seeing the people of Asgard living their life and allowing people to come, you know, be tourists and seeing the kids. I like watching the kids on the rides and all that was cool. Seeing what happened with New Asgard, how it was fully developed, I liked. But her being the king, why couldn't she just be the queen? Why she have to be the king of Asgard? You know, no, yeah, it's king and queen for a reason. You know, that's not gender fluid. No, it's not. No. So, you know, I didn't like that, but I did like I said, I liked that. I liked Christian Bale as the God Killer. I mean, he was good. I mean, he's a great actor anyway. But a part of me feels like, you know, where did he and his daughter come from? And where was the mom? You know, what was that about? So, yeah, and then, you know, the guy that he finally saw, hell, I didn't like him either. I wanted to kill him too. But that doesn't mean that all gods are like him. You know, it's just, but no, he did a good job though with his role. But then, like, when he meets the Eternity, why couldn't he just ask for his daughter to come back to life and he stay alive too? Why, you know, why couldn't that all just be one sentence? I mean, that was kind of confusing too.
I think you only get one wish, not like an and situation. And the weapon is like, it drains you. So it's like a cancer, it drains you. So he was, if he ever was detached from it, it would kill him eventually.
One thing about that too, though, a lot of that stuff was not never really established in the movie. They didn't really explain it, which I thought was interesting.
And then, is there only one wish for the first person that comes? Is that it? Is that how that works? Nobody else gets a wish?
I think it's a wish for the person that sets it up, the person that found it and set it up. I mean, I'm only speculating, but just putting two and two together, like it was the person that set it up to get it, and he was the one that set it up. They kind of just walked in after him.
Oh, what I really did like was the last time when Thor got to meet the kids in person and he shared his power with the kids. That was cool.
Yeah.
I really liked that. I loved watching the kids all rally together with Axel, AKA Astrid, with him leading the charge and the girl with the little stuffed bunny who had powers. All that was cool and cute. I enjoyed watching that part. That part was fun. So there are things about it that I did like. I mean, those things. I liked the opening montage with Thor getting his body back and all that. That was cool. And the recap. All that, you know, was cool, but yeah, there were just things that were just overtly forced that left a bad taste in my mouth that didn't need to be there at all and made things too lopsided. And then once again, it's about balance. So we love to see strong, you know, female characters and we definitely need more of them. And I had no problem with that. But if you start to emasculate the men in the movie, then we have a problem. So, you know, that was definitely an issue. I don't know how to feel about Russell Crowe's Zeus. I really don't. I mean, Zeus is known for being a very powerful god and a womanizer. I mean, but Russell, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, that was a lot. that was a lot. So the concept of there being an omnipotent city, that was a cool concept. And I liked how most of that was flushed out. But not all of it. Yeah, the whole Russell Crowe Zeus thing, yeah, they could have kept that. That was,
Yeah, parts of it I really liked. Parts of it was just, I think that they were too concerned about going for the joke. And there's a lot of heavy things that were touched on this movie, from a father losing his daughter, a father losing his, I guess, himself in a way, because of his connection to religion and him and his relationship with his God that turned out to be something else. Mm-hmm. You have a woman who's dealing with cancer. you have a race of people who loses their sacred tower. You have kids that are being kidnapped and taken from their families. All this stuff had jokes at the end of it. Like, so the kids are kidnapped, basically, a bunch of kids, and they hoard it together. And it's made jokes when they're trying to save him. And he's worrying about fighting about what he's being called instead of how we're going to get out of here. You know, you got the guy who just lost his daughter and going to the god asking for help. And the god is being dismissive, throwing fruit at him as if it's a joke. These folks that need Thor's help to save their temple, and the temple get destroyed. So all the stuff that is heavy and means something to somebody is being dismissed very quickly and in a jokey fashion. Even the thing with Jane talking about her cancer and, oh no, I didn't say that. I was just joking. I didn't mean that. You know, just all that stuff. It's like, we could feel bad. We could feel bad a little bit. It was just up the stakes, you know, for when they succeed and win. And then I didn't like the unnatural, like, competition that Jane had for Thor. It's like he's walking around and then he's incompetent now, I guess. And then Jane is trying to be a better Thor than he is, even though she just started being Thor. She don't even have a catchphrase yet, and that's what her concern is. But everything else she's doing is saving Thor's butt. Even though I like Tessa Thompson's character Valkyrie, you know, well, she's a better king than he was going to be to his own kingdom. And Jane's a human, and she's a better Thor than him, and he's been Thor for how long? You know, it's
over
very
1,000
interesting.
Years, basically. Yeah.
And it's just like he's just incompetent in his own movie, and everything around him is just reflections of his failures. Everybody's in a better place at his spot.
Yeah.
And he's sitting there walking around that. And so I thought it was just kind of interesting, you know, even when it came to the point towards the end where it's this situation where Jane finds out that she's dying because of using the hammer. And he's just like, hey, this is hurting you. The doctor is saying, you know, that the problem is she can't fight this cancer with this thing draining. Thor realizes, hey, it's that hammer, and talk to her and basically say, you know what? I love you. I just need you to sit back and let me handle this, and we'll figure out how to beat this together, you know? And what she does is, like, when he goes and fights, she gets up out that bed, puts that hammer in her hand to fight alongside Thor. When did Thor ever need anybody's help, really, for that kind of a situation? And what is she going to really add to it? She's trying to figure out her catchphrase. And instead of being like, you know, this man loves me. And I'm not trying to put no woman down and say she can't do anything. But to have her side by side when this his thing anyway, and she got to be by his side. It's almost kind of like that's something that your brother would do. It's like you competing. You got your woman competing against you too. To see you could be the best, what, leader? Or whatever, like that's the ego thing. Guys are dumb like that. We'll do stuff just because you can't tell us no kind of thing. But to be like competing with him in that way, I thought it was just kind of interesting. It turned him to like buddies instead of that's his lady or his lady that he's in love with, that he wants to have a relationship with. And they're out there seeing who could be the better Thor. And I just thought that was interesting.
When she was in the hospital, why didn't he just take the hammer with him?
Because she needed to come back and come through and save him.
Help save him, yeah.
Because even when that happened and he came and then she did her thing, you know, helped him defeat Gore. And when she, you know, died basically from using it, I was thinking like, that's interesting because he was kind of being replaced in his own movie. And I was thinking like, okay, so if she's not there anymore, they're going to let him, you know, kind of have his thing back. And then they end up making him a adoptive daughter. So they had that powerful woman in that movie at all times. Even when the one they started off with passed away, they replaced her with another powerful girl or woman character with all these powers and all this other kind of stuff who just knew on the job, hanging with the guy who's been a god and a warrior for decades. But they're still standing alongside him, toe-to-toe with him. It's like, okay, granted, you might have the power, but where do you get the skill set and all the rest of this stuff? Where are all the rest of that stuff coming from? You know, so it was just interesting, but it definitely just felt like here's all the stuff. Here, you put all this in this movie. I don't care how you fit it in there. It don't matter if it corrupts the story or makes the story wonky or takes away logic. You stuff this in here. You're going to make comments about this. You're going to talk about that. You're going to have these situations. It's going to be that kind of thing. I thought it was very interesting how even though you have Gore the God Killer, and you see, like, you know, Gore kill a god in the beginning. You know, he's getting choked out, and the sword came to him, and he was able to save himself. Actually, we saw Thor kill a god. He killed Zeus.
Yeah.
And he did the same thing the bad guy was going to do. And we saw Thor do it, though.
Well, no, we saw Thor appear to kill Zeus.
Yeah, because in the bonus scenes, Zeus
But the way it was set up is for him to kill him.
And you're right.
Put like this, everybody there was concerned, like, huh? So.
And once he killed Zeus, or, you know, allegedly killed Zeus, why didn't he take the throne or order all of them to make an army?
Yeah, because none of them was really concerned.
Because he took the lightning. I don't know.
Yeah, so, it was just how the characters were just treated. It was just treated very lightly, and it was just interesting to really feel anything when everything was just like, even the heavy stuff. And so even though it was funny and we were laughing and checking things out, it was also a lot of stuff that wasn't said or explained, motives and things like that, power sets and stuff. I thought it was interesting how, even though Gore lost his daughter, that he would even think to kidnap kids to use them even in his plot like that. I thought that would be something that he probably wouldn't necessarily mess with.
Well, remember, that was the whole thing about what the Necro Sword does. It corrupts you. Because remember, that's what told him, it whispered to him to kill the god in the first place. Not even just on self-defense. And it told him to kill all the gods. Like, it started whispering to him. I agree with what you're saying. I think, yeah, it's kind of weird that he would kidnap children. Even though he would kidnap children, he definitely didn't hurt them, though.
No, he didn't. I noticed that, too. He didn't hurt them at all.
He didn't hurt anyone. He actually,
scared him a little bit, but
at some point, like, entertained him and then had a moment of, you know, vulnerability and said, like, you, little one, you remind me of someone I used to know. And so I definitely think it was literally only a... Because remember, right before the scene changed, he was like, they were like, Thor's going to come to get us. And he said, that's what I'm counting on. That was it. They were mean to an end. But I agree with you saying, but I think when you want something so bad, plus you're corrupted, then you're probably going to do some stuff that you don't necessarily think you would. But when the monsters were out, when he was creating shadow monsters or whatever, they initially weren't going after the children. They were just fighting the adults out there to kill the Asgardian adults, but they weren't necessarily killing children. It wasn't until he realized, oh, this isn't going to be as easy as I thought it is. Let me take the children. You know what I'm saying? But not, I don't know if that was his first, that wasn't his first goal, nor probably was it something that he just, you know, planned to do, but I got to get Thor. I got to get the Stormbreaker thing somehow.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought the movie was all over the place.
It was.
I don't know. I was just trying to keep up with everything.
Yeah, me too.
It's a lot of shorthand. I don't know. The only stuff that I thought was kind of made sense to me was some of the jokes, because it was just like straightforward and kind of funny or silly. But even some of the stuff I was laughing at, I didn't know if I even should laugh at it, because it's just kind of like, it wasn't really appropriate, but it was funny. The part where the kids got empowered and everything, and he whispered, you know, for a limited time only, or some kind of joke about being
temporary. Yeah, that was cool.
Sharing his powers with him. I was thinking like, oh, you know, that'd be cool to show the kids. But then also I'm like, I'm not going to explain his butt being exposed and then the women fainting in front of it, you know?
Yeah, that was the trip. So yeah, we're going to make sure we sexualize him, objectify Thor. And then Zeus is like, oh, let's see your clothes. I'm like, oh, no. They took off, you know, the robe so that he could see their uniforms, because they didn't want to be naked. I was like, oh, here we go.
I didn't extra like the depiction of Zeus in the movie, but I understand why they had to do that, of course, because again, you should never meet your heroes, right? But because in all of typical modern, you know, media of Zeus, he's always this kind of broad, manly, like powerful character. I mean, look who's portrayed him. I mean, in the big roles that we know of, like, you know, you got Liam Neeson in the Clash of the Titans series. Even in Percy Jackson, you had Sean Bean, who was in the Lord of the Rings and all those movies. You know, and so you have this depiction of him that is different. And or even in that one movie that was so just wrong. Yeah, just the depiction was so different. And so seeing this one was like, whoa. Now granted, that little pivot he did was funny before he came down the stairs, but you know, just him and his, it was just different. But I guess it's a setup, because we're not going to see him again, but we're going to see the Hercules. And so, who looks like he's going to overcompensate for the Zeus we had. Hercules is going to overcompensate in the seriousness. So,
and that guy's not big enough to be Hercules. That's the guy from Ted Lasso. I forget his name. He's not even big enough to be Hercules, but that don't matter.
I mean, you know, he got time to bulk up a little bit. I mean, He looked like a Thor-like person. He looked like he was the same size as Thor.
I don't know how he got that way, but he looked big.
He looked the same size as Thor. I mean, but again, did you see Jane's arms?
Right.
Yeah.
They're nice.
Right.
So, yeah, what they could do with the CGI. I mean, you saw what they did with Captain America in the first one. I mean, you know, do some stuff now, but it was definitely a lot. You know, we'll see what happens the next go round.
Yeah, definitely.
I thought it was cool that they showed what happened to Lady Sif, so it was good to see her. That was very interesting.
I did like her training Axel.
Did you guys get the vibes from when Gor was talking to the children? He kind of reminded me of the Joker, the way he was kind of acting when he's talking to the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get that vibe?
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
I missed that. I didn't really get that.
I thought it was pretty interesting.
Yeah, he was very much a Joker-like, and in particular that Joker from The Batman. you know, not necessarily the Heath Ledger one, but he was definitely giving like Joker-like vibes when he was talking to them. And I mean, his whole character to some extent was like that, because he would flip in and out of seriousness and then funny silliness, and then also like intellectual, theological type of Socrates type. You know, so, but his range worked though. I enjoyed all of his different ranges, his peasant worshiper piece that we got, to the God killer, to the playing with children, to the questioning why I shouldn't do this. Like it was all really well done for him, for Christian Bale. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
he definitely delivers.
I'm interested to see which direction that it goes now, because, you know, I mean, they are going to take it up a notch in terms of the villain piece, right? Because you're about to have Hercules. So he's going to have a punching villain, you know, somebody that can physically fight him, right? You know, as opposed to maybe some swords and maybe some axes and maybe some this and maybe, you know, potentially that, you know, but it's going to be an actual.
Oh, corny. We'll see. I don't have a good feeling about it at all. But how about you? The notion of the God of Strength fighting Thor, that might be interesting. We'll see.
He's kind of saying like he's going to go up the next level, because he's going to have somebody he can actually punch and have a big spectacle battle with.
Yes.
Well, and it might not. We'll see. Maybe. We'll see.
That's why they set it up, because he's had three villains now that he has not been punching around. He had that dwarf guy. He had his sister. And now he had guy with a sword. Nobody who could actually punch him around, like Zod punched Superman around. That was the point. And you said it was corny. Now, I referenced Hercules' size like 30 minutes ago, not when I just said his villain's finally going to be Hercules.
Well, I heard you. You said that he has plenty of time to beat up.
That means it's not going to be corny, because now he's going to actually have somebody who he could fight against that's going to actually give him like a fight.
Physical fight. Yeah, we'll see. When I saw that bonus scene today, I was underwhelmed. I was underwhelmed. So we'll see. But I could be wrong, but we'll see. I hear what you're saying about he's going to fight Hercules, the God of Strength, the Greek God of Strength, who was originally a demigod, who became a god, a full god later on after all his adventures. I know about Hercules. So we'll see. I'm not even sure if I even like the idea of him fighting Hercules, but if people want to see him punch someone, we'll see. Okay, it might be great. We'll see. But when I saw that bonus feature, it wasn't worth me waiting for that scene. That scene felt underwhelming. Seeing Russell Crowe as Zeus again, talking his gibberish, it was bad.
I get that.
Yeah. So, you know, so we'll see. But yeah, I'm not disagreeing with you about people wanting to see a evenly paired matchup. I agree with you about that. You know, you are right about that. So, and I think about it, I do think that Thor's sister was probably, you know, between her and Loki, well, especially her when she got his eye, that was a memorable moment. But you know, you're right though. Physically speaking, he hasn't really had someone match him with strength.
Except for the first robot thing that he had to fight. He hasn't had an actual physical type villain. And that's why I said this would actually, it's going to be probably less corny, because you have somebody, we get to see that now.
Well, and you may be wrong. Like I said, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying, I just didn't care for that bonus scene. I was just like, what the? Because, you know, had the guy looked, because the guy didn't look like Hercules to me. But like you said, there's plenty of time. That might take another 2 years or so. So And they may even change the guy I saw. So we'll see.
They might just go with the route that, you know, I mean, Hercules doesn't necessarily, I mean, Kevin Sorbo wasn't extra big either.
But then, no, but he wasn't extra small either, but I know what you mean. I mean, he was big enough.
Wasn't he like?
No, he was small compared to like the normal portrayals of him.
I understand.
Matter of fact, I didn't even watch that Hercules because he looked too small for me. Even that show, I couldn't, he's Hercules? I was used to Lou Ferrigno and stuff like that. So to see him, and I was thinking like, oh, he's supposed to be, it was just bad math in my head when I saw that.
I still see like regular man. So that's just me. Like, cause I mean, I'm 260 pounds and I see Kevin Sorbo and I look at him on the show from the 90s and I think regular guy, like just tall.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, and everybody, you know, was running around calling him Hercules too. So, I mean, we'll see what it is. The point was, it'll be an epic punching battle, just like in Man of Steel, where it is finally we get a punching battle because the villain matters too. That's all I was saying. Like,
sure.
It has less to do with the actor and more to do with the villain of choice.
Yeah, this movie's very, there's a lot going on because I'm sure it's a lot of stuff I missed because everything was just going so fast, so quickly, and everything was a joke. And like I said, because even with Thor Ragnarok, I wasn't used to that pacing, but it's just so many other things that was tied into this that made it an issue for me. So we'll see. But was it fun? Yeah, it's fun. If you're not thinking about it and you're just kind of going through the motions and taking the jokes for what they are and the characters acting out of character, unfinished, unresolved storylines and plots and stuff like that, if you're just kind of watching to have fun, I think it's fun. If you're watching for, you're looking for your character to be a certain kind of way, it might be different than what you expect, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But it was good catching up with you guys. This has been an interesting review, but you know what's coming up that I'm looking forward to? I think it's going to be a great conversation is Nope.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that. I wish I wasn't seeing none of these trailers. The trailers ain't helping me.
Yeah, they're giving away too much.
But in spite of, I think it's going to be all right, and I'm looking forward to discussing that movie. And maybe we'll get in a discussion about Jordan Peele and some of his previous work, especially the first two movies he did, which was Get Out and Us. I think that'll be a good conversation and, you know, just him in general and then what we're kind of expecting for this, for Nope. Because whatever we're coming up with.
So did he direct Candyman or he just produced
it? He just produced it.
Okay.
He's a producer and I think he co-wrote.
Gotcha.
We'll see how this goes. And the fact that the stuff that they showed us, it made me think that can't be just it just because they did show it. So we'll see. But I will say that I'm ready for some movies that's taking chances. And this movie took a chance too. But when you do that, you swing hard. Either, you know, you're going to miss big or you're going to hit big. And that's just kind of how it goes. But for this to be like, you know, a family movie, just like with Doctor Strange, it's interesting what they're considering a family movie nowadays. And I wonder how this is going to, like I said, how it's going to be taken. But we'll see.
Yeah, see, I don't know if I want to see it again, actually, now. The more I think about it.
That's fair. Mm. But yeah, so that was Jay, Captain Keith, and Wayne the Q in our discussion of Thor, Love, and Thunder. Until next time, peace.
Peace easy.
See you somewhere out in space.
Hey, it's Jay. Be sure to check out past and future episodes of this show available now on all streaming platforms. If you'd like to hear more from us, please check out my other podcast entitled Jay's Other Podcast, along with Captain Keith's other podcast entitled Clef Signs, spelled KLEFSIGNS, which are both now available on all streaming platforms.